This is, thank you for being here, Gary. Love you being here.
My pleasure, my honor.
Wife Deborah is over here as well. And it's wonderful to be here among people who love to worship the Lord. And I wanted to hand out something to you today. I just want to do a little sermonette before the Lord's Supper to prepare us even more. I don't know if you can prepare even more than the song we just sang for the Lord's Supper. I'm not sure you can do that, but this is something I want to add to it. Today is Ascension Sunday, where churches around the world remember that Jesus, He was crucified, He was buried, He rose from the dead, but also 40 days later, after resurrection appearances, He ascended back to heaven. And if you look in the end of Luke 24, it says the disciples were standing there when Jesus was about to ascend. He ascended, and the next thing really surprised me. Because if Jesus ascended to heaven, I would be sad. I really think I was thinking, you know, I'd be sad. It says they rejoiced and went on their way rejoicing in great happiness. I was like, why were they happy that Jesus ascended? Well, right before you, I have 9 reasons they were happy about that Jesus ascended. And that's what we want to meditate on and think about. One reason they were happy, Jesus is reigning. He went to sit down at the right hand of the Father and sit down. In those days, in the early church, you would have remained standing. And I've got up here, I would come and sit down and talk to you. It was totally opposite of what we do now. When Jesus went and sat down at the right hand of the Father, that means He took authority. That means He sat and started ruling. He started making judgments. He started the process of being king, sitting down. And if you wanted a theme verse, I think the whole book of Hebrews, or the book of Hebrews is written as a meditation on what is going on with Jesus. What are the activities of the ascended Christ? And you can go a lot of different places in Hebrews. Let me just read this little scripture to you. Most of these, almost every one of these scriptures that I handed out to you, and I want you to keep this, take it home, think about it this week, about Jesus, the ascended Lord. In chapter 2, there's a strange kind of saying about Jesus, and it's in verse 11, 2:11, and we're going to unpack these sayings. Don't have to understand, but listen to what it says. Here's what Jesus, the ascended Lord, does and says. It was fitting for Jesus, for whom all things and through whom all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings, Jesus. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason Jesus, He is not ashamed to call them brothers. Saying, and Jesus says 3 different things. He quotes from the Old Testament. He says this, and Jesus says, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. I mean, I guess you could put this in red letters if you wanted to. These are words of the ascended Jesus. What are you saying, Jesus? Proclaiming your name to my brothers? In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, here's another word. You could red letter it if you wanted. I will put my trust in Him, in God. Jesus, I thought you didn't have to trust God. What are you talking? Jesus has faith? These are things Jesus is saying. And again in verse 13, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. The Lord looks to the Father, behold me and the children, my brothers and sisters, my family, God has laid down and given to me. Jesus speaks a lot of interesting things as the ascended Savior. I just want to unpack them a little bit. He's reigning. He's crowned right now. And what are some aspects of His reign? Well, it's when you look in 1 Corinthians, He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is not welcome. It is not welcome. We all go to funerals. We have loved ones, and there's death. That's the last enemy. What is Jesus doing? He's reigning. to get rid of anything that gets in the way of life. That's what He's working on. Here's another great scripture from Acts 2. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, Peter's saying this to the church, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has poured out what you see in here. Jesus as King goes to the Father's right hand and has authority to pour out the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. They were, you know, this is something to be excited about, that He lets His Spirit come, the Spirit who makes Jesus applicable and present anywhere in the world. You know, Jesus was in Palestine. I'm here in Franklin, Tennessee. How can I get to know Him? How can I get to see Him? The Spirit of God makes Him present everywhere. He shrinks time and place and matter. And Jesus can now be present everywhere, even here. Here's a great scripture, Ephesians 4:8. He ascended on high. He made captivity itself captive. Jesus did this. How do you take captive captivity? Well, you take death and turn it on itself and make life out of it. That's what Jesus does. Behold, I hold the keys of Hades. He gave gifts to His people. And He descended as the same one who ascended so that He might fill all things. Jesus is the King who fills it all up. He's filling everything up. What a King is this. What a mighty King that we have. Back to these verses. Jesus, the ascended Lord, makes proclamation that we are His family. He is not ashamed of us. And that has hit me before. Because I've done things, I think, Jesus, man, wouldn't you be ashamed of me, Jesus? From lack of things I've done, not enough. And sometimes from things I've done in commission of sin. Jesus says, you know, you're cleansed. You walk in the light, you're cleansed. I will cleanse you from all sin, not just one. And I am not ashamed to call you brother and sister. Jesus is our big brother. And He's saying that as the ascended Lord. Before the Father, we are family. We are family. And He's our great brother. And He loves to love on us. And He likes to... Big brothers sometimes like to watch over their little siblings. He is watching over us. He's thinking about us. He worries about us. I wonder if they're going to get together today. You know, He's thinking about us. So, Jesus... He led His family in praise to the Father. When He says, in the midst of the congregation, I will praise You, Lord. Jesus is a song leader. He's a worship leader. In the midst of this congregation, Jesus is singing. I don't know if I heard Him. But you know what? He is lifting up praises to the Lord. He's lifting up our praises. Annie Dillard, who wrote a pilgrim, Teaching a Stone to Speak. She said, how does God keep from laughing in our worship services? How does God really keep from laughing? It's because Jesus takes every one of our songs and He's lifting it up to the Father. He's in the midst praising, and the Lord hears our songs singing with our big brother Jesus, and it's beautiful, fragrant to His ears. So sing out. Worship the Lord. Pour it out. Jesus will take it if it's from your heart. Don't be afraid of what others think around you. I've seen half the people do not sing because they're afraid of what other people think. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus wants you to sing out. He wants you to put your hand on the song and pour your heart into it so He can take it to the Father. That's what He does as the ascended Lord. Number four, Jesus, He's not only the pioneer, but He's the perfecter, the completer of faith and keeping faith. Jesus is all about faith. He's faithful. And it says, He keeps faith. I didn't know Jesus is in the presence of God. How does He keep faith? He knows God. Because keeping faith is really about being faithful to what you're about and what you your word and who you are. Jesus is faithful to who God is. That's the faith. And He's perfecting it and working on it right now for every one of us to keep being true to who we really are. Faithful. Jesus is present with His new creation through the Holy Spirit. And this is when it really blew me away. Jesus said in that verse, here I am with my brothers and sisters. What do you mean, Jesus? I'm here. Walking around with us. And even says in Revelation 2:1, I am Jesus walking among the churches. I'm walking amongst the candlesticks. Well, Jesus, where are you? I didn't see you. He is here. He's present in a way that is a profound and deeply amazing. And you know, if you don't see Jesus or feel Jesus, why don't you ask Him? show himself to you. Because he is present. He wants to be present when we take the Lord's Supper too. Right here. He wants to be walking with us, sitting beside us, fellowshipping with us as we invite him here. Paul killed Christians. Jesus appeared to Paul and says, Saul, it's Saul then, why are you persecuting me? I thought you were killing Christians, not Jesus. Jesus feels so close to the church. What goes against the church, he takes it personal. You did it against me. That's how close he wants to, he feels to us. Here's Stephen. Stephen was killed by them. The first Christian martyr, stoned to death. He says, I gazed up into heaven and I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I thought Jesus sat. Now he's standing. What does that mean? That means Jesus, not only, he's not puffed up about his position of power, which is true power. He will get up and welcome you home. He will get up and see about what's going on with you. Jesus is not only the sitting at the right hand of the Father, he is also standing at the right hand of the Father. That is a great comfort. Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest, standing with his blood for eternal redemption. And we know these scriptures, many scriptures about how he's poured out his blood for us. People say, oh, sacrifice is not important anymore. But it's interesting, if you look at the movies in the last 10 years, there's profound many movies made about what a person sacrificing their life to save somebody else. And they're good movies, and they made a lot of money. And it's not a dead idea. It is the essence of life. Giving your life, pouring your life for someone to live. That's Jesus. He's the ascended Lord. He says, I've opened a door and a new path for you to walk right up to the Father and to know Him, to fellowship with Him. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Bold. Where's your boldness? Be bold to go before the Lord with anything. He said in Hebrews 9, He will offer Himself without blemish to God to purify our conscience from dead works for this purpose, to worship the living God. That's interesting. You know, I thought, well, to feel better. Jesus, you purified me, I feel better. Well, that is true. It helps me to feel better. So I could feel light, so I could be happy. I purified you in this great sacrifice as my high priest to you so you could worship, serve. Is this not the highest honor of the human being? No, it's what? Homo sapiens, the wise one. We are really Homo the worshiper. That is our ultimate calling. The highest calling we have is to worship the Lord and to walk before Him. And that's what the Lord wants to open up with His sacrifice. That's why it was important enough for Him to come and get on the cross. Number 7, Jesus continues His life of prayer and intercession for us. Jesus prayed all the time. He stayed up all night praying. We know this. I mean, people were like, Jesus, how do you pray all the time like this? Well, He's not stopped. It says, He always lives to make intercession for us. Romans 8, who is to condemn us? It's Jesus Christ who died and was raised at the right hand of the Father, who indeed intercedes for us. Jesus, what do you pray about? What is there to pray about us? Well, there's lots he might be praying about. Like Peter. Peter, I've prayed that Satan will not sift you like wheat. If Jesus, you know, I love it when some of you people in here are praying for me. If you come up here and told me I'm praying for you, Lance, I would say, thank you. I feel better already. Well, what about Jesus says, I'm praying for you. Wow. I think that's the only way Paul got through prison. I think that's the only way he got through those dark nights where they didn't feed you unless you had someone come give you food and it stank and there was disease and rats were biting you. Jesus was praying for him. Of course, a lot of other people were, but Jesus is praying. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus is praying. And if any of us do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our promoter. You know, the advocate means, you know, it's a lawyer. But today, lawyers don't have as good a reputation as they did. And he's like our promoter. Maybe that's not even good either, but He defends us. He's on our side. He's in our corner. That's the ascended Lord. I can see why these guys are pretty happy. Jesus is our forerunner and hope. And we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain. A hope. How does the hope enter the inner shrine? It's because Jesus is the hope. Where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to that order of Melchizedek. The word forerunner, this is the only time it's used in the New Testament at all. And it means a little ship. When a big ship would pull up to the harbors, those harbors in Greece, they silted out a lot, and they had to wait for high tide half the time, especially if they were grain ships. And if they hung out there, sometimes storms would blow them off or something. A little ship called a forerunner in Greek would come and take their anchor and run it in the shallow water into the harbor and set the anchor so that they could come in eventually. And that Jesus says, I'm your forerunner. I've set your anchor in God. And I want to get you in there. No matter what storms come, you can take the storms out there. When the time comes and the tide rises, you're coming home. You have arrived. Seize the hope. Therefore, Hebrews says, seize the hope. Well, it's Jesus is our hope. And 9, the ascended Lord, they were happy and rejoicing because our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He's watching out for us. He's feeding. He's protecting. He's thinking about us. He's planning ahead. Shepherds plan ahead big time. They don't just wander around, oh, I wonder what we're going to do tomorrow. And it's like, well, I have a field over here. That's what we'll do. They have a rod and a staff. The staff leads us. You push the sheep around. The rod, if something comes up, they knock it in the head with the rod. The Lord wants to protect us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. The ascended Jesus. There's so much going on with him. I'll leave these scriptures with you just to thank the Lord that He's ascended. And what we're going to do, I'll ask the guys to come up. We'll pass out the Lord's Supper. Take it as you see fit and meditate on our ascended Lord. Jesus is risen. Jesus is ascended.